on our journey into mystery for the Bennett Brothers podcast of the TV series Loki on Disney Plus, episode 5. Oh, it's called Journey into Mystery. I just put that together. Okay. I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett. You guys are getting like pure entertainment right now. Jerry's figuring things out on the fly. It's amazing. Thank you for joining us as we dive deep into the latest episode of Loki on Disney Plus. We're going to talk about the crazy amount of Easter eggs that are in this episode, theories, thoughts, spoilers. So if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it, come back, listen to us, and then join the conversation on Facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. So yeah, thanks for joining us, everyone. We're excited to have you. We're excited to talk about this. We have one episode left.
Yes.
So this is the penultimate. We love saying penultimate. It's always fun.
We is a subjective word.
It is very. I mean, podcasters love saying penultimate. We're going to talk about it, and it's going to be fun. Before we get into it, though, one piece of news I want to bring up. They did release the trailer for What If. What If.
Yes, they did.
What If. What did you think?
Looks good. Exciting. I'm ready for it.
It's interesting. It's the last recording of Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther.
There's more than one.
So that's exciting. I love that they got him, but, like, not Robert Downey Jr. Like, it just, that always is fun to me.
Scheduling conflict.
I'm sure these guys have studios in their houses, you know, just to record audio. I don't know. It's money. He probably doesn't want to even do it.
Got Samuel Jackson, Chris Hemsworth, a bunch of other people, but, yeah, you know.
But it'll be exciting. We will talk about it. It is a Marvel show. We've done every Marvel shows. If you are interested, go to bennettbrotherspodcast.wordpress.com or go to iTunes or any of those places. Apple Podcasts, we're there. If you're having trouble finding us, let us know, because we've been trying to make some changes coming up here with our podcast as far as the way things get delivered. Behind the scenes technical stuff. So if you're having any trouble, let us know.
We've been doing this for over 10 years. I have no idea what we're doing. Joel set this thing up a million years ago when we were like, let's do a podcast. You get spent like 20 minutes. He goes, I think I got a way to do it.
20 minutes. No, I just spent more time than that.
And like afterwards, like, okay, we recorded something. It went out. Saw some people listening. Like, I guess that's good. And then we've like changed little bits here and there. And every time we have to do it, we're like, oh, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we going to
Did
like.
We just break
and
internet?
We just, now we've lost all of our subscribers. So if you ever do. Please let us know, because we need to know if it's even going out. I posted one last week, and it was like 2 days later. I'm like, oh, this still hasn't gone out yet. Like,
if someone can't get a hold of us, they're probably not listening to this podcast at the moment. You know, it's. I want to point out that I did spend a lot of time when we created this podcast, but I had the one caveat that I had to follow.
Or caveat.
That too. Was that it had to be, we had to make sure this is free. At the time, everything was free stream. Like, I had to like streamline it to make it free. So it was jumping through a bunch of hoops.
It is
and
no
things.
Longer free, but
it is no that, longer yeah. free. And there's also podcast sites that are like, hey, just come here, pay this money, and we'll put your podcast up. When we designed this podcast 10 years ago, that was not really a thing. So, but we've been doing it for 10 years. We're changing stuff. So hopefully everything goes smoothly. And we'll find out. Any other news you want
to
talk about?
Loki
we're
going
to get into. Oh, we also would like to, at this point, Black Widow has come out. I have seen it. I saw it in the theater. It's great to be back in the theater. First movie theater I've been in 2 years. Jerry will be watching it shortly on Disney Plus.
Yes.
And we will throw out, we'll do our podcast for that.
I think we're
going to
hold that off. I think we're going to wait and do that podcast.
I don't know. There's a lot of connection from Black Widow to Loki.
Shut
so
up. You're so funny.
I have to talk about it. Jerry's got to cover his ears.
I'm talking to a pillow right now.
We will get to that podcast as soon as we can. Thanks for the patience, and it'll be exciting, I'm sure.
Also, once again, like the shout out to. first time listener, 7-time caller, Christy Sands, who has said that when I said that the last time of the podcast, she actually laughed out loud accidentally, and it was quite funny. So apparently the jokes are landing.
She's laughing
person.
Out loud? This is great.
Yes, I know. It's like, what?
She's not doing a one of those. clever.
Unfollow.
All right, episode 5, Journey into Mystery. I want to, before we get our opinions on this, the title is based on a comic book.
That's where Thor got his start, and obviously Loki as well. That comic series
Loki's
was
first appearance in issue 85, October 1962. The series was then retitled the Mighty Thor at issue 126.
But was not renumbered. That's the crazy part about it. That's how they did it back then. And apparently now they renumber it every six
apparently
issues.
They brought the title back.
Several times throughout the years. You want to keep the copyright and the trademark on something.
That's probably what it is.
Tales of Suspense is, you know, every so often, throw one out there.
Excellent. So that is
Nobody wants another Captain Marvel situation. That's why there's Captain Marvel all over the place. Joel, what did you think of the episode?
Oh, it's amazing. This is good stuff. I have so many questions about this last episode, which is good television, that I want to watch the next episode immediately because there's just so many questions still needing to be answered. But the entertainment value, the rewatchability factor, the look, the feel, all of it is just top notch. This is some of the best television. I would argue this might be the best television show going right now. I know Jerry will disagree and he will say Rick and Morty, but I think this is the best television show going right now. And I can't wait. I hate that it's over in one more episode. That sucks. But we have so much more Marvel coming. I don't even know. You turn the corner and you get hit in the face with Marvel. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
The best episode yet. And that's not because of all the Easter eggs. Those are nice. What an episode. Action, story, pacing was perfect. Classic Loki took it over the top. Richard E. Grant in that role. Everything about this. The return of characters we thought dead. All of that was great. I'm very excited to see where the show's going to go. And before we go farther, I kind of want to throw my theory out now because I will forget to mention it later. And it has to not, the theory, and this is based on me reading and listening to stuff and tracking things down, is it's the idea of who the villain is in this and how Marvel shows have been going to this point. We get all the way from it's Agatha all along to the Sharon Carter as the power broker. And just that idea, mm-hmm. like we're always trying to say what it is and who's the villain. And in this case, we haven't, you know, there's all the signs that we've been talking about and online comic fans talk about Kang, the Conqueror, coming. And it still might be that. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like, I don't think, based on Marvel's history, like, for example, the Avengers. Loki's the bad guy through the whole thing. We reveal Thanos after it's done. So they go, hey, this is the guy behind it. But we didn't waste our time with that one yet. We're going to introduce him later. We're just teasing him here. I feel like that probably could happen. I feel like maybe the main bad guy on this could be a variant on Loki. Could be the Loki who actually we think got the head, you know, his head snapped in Infinity War, because maybe he actually did exactly what classic Loki said. Maybe he made an illusion. And what is he doing right now? He's stopping the timekeepers or whoever's behind the timekeepers, because maybe at the end he wants to resurrect his mom, because we know that was a tragic moment for him. Maybe Rene Russo will show up in the last episode.
Maybe his mom's the villain.
Maybe maybe it is a variant Loki who at the end of this will find out actually Kang was the one who was behind all this, but he got sidetracked or imprisoned or something like that, and he'll be freed at the end of this. Again, this will all be undone within one episode. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that was nothing. But that's the fun about doing the podcast. And
that
I
is.
To
well,
say
and it's a mystery
there.
Show. We don't know the villain. They don't know the villain.
It just seems like to reveal. I Joel and I go through this all the time. Is we talk about like who the villain is. And if it's something like at the end they reveal this, Joel and I go, oh my God, I can't believe it's the Living Tribunal or whatever. And we always think like our aunt or our in-laws or just somebody else goes, I have no idea who that is. I was expecting it to be Loki or Sylvie or something like that, which by the way, it totally could still be Sylvie. Mm-hmm. When she says, you're not going to betray me. He's like, no, I'm not going to betray you. I'm like, yeah, but she's going to betray you.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
There's who could show up? I mean, Anthony Hopkins could show back up because he's done television with Westworld and all that, so that's an option too. I had a moment where I was watching the Previously On, and Mobius has this line where he goes, you know where I want to be? I want to be back to where I came from. And then that's the moment that Renslayer prunes him and sends him to the void. Could Mobius be the bad guy? He just left. Remember, he walked out. All right, see you guys. And all of a sudden, they can go there, and like he's could be sitting there.
I don't think so.
I mean, I'm just saying, like
I heard a theory that it could be classic Loki, and he's the one behind it, and he's being good and bad. But it's like that really doesn't. They'd have to do some really good hand waving to justify mm-hmm. his actions in this episode, or Mobius to go to that level.
This is so fun. I have no idea. That's what's so great
Other
about
than
this
the thing. Kang thing, and Even the last image they show in the credits, they show that one close-up of the center timekeeper, and that face does not look like any of the three, I don't think, that they showed earlier, and even the robot head. It does not look right. It looks like the actor.
I don't think that's it. But, I mean, I can see why you would think that, but that has been – that like it just doesn't – if that's been the face the whole time. Like
I saw a picture. Somebody took the TVA logo and said, hey, it looks just like Kang. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. You know, it could be a stretch. I don't know. You know, like mm-hmm. that could be his eyes. Ignore the fact that this is nothing like it and this is nothing like it. But also look at the top of the head. That could be it.
It could be Miss Minutes.
I've heard that theory too.
Yeah, so many theories. That's what makes it so exciting, and that's why I can't wait for episode 6. But we are going to talk about episode 5.
Wait till how many times Joel is going to throw out an Easter egg. So we should just have like a little.
Well,
buzzer.
I'm not going to get them all because there's a lot of Easter eggs in there. Hopefully, Jerry will remind me of some that I may have missed. But we start off at the TVA. We get this interesting, cool, twisty shot to start the episode that goes towards the elevator that takes you to the timekeeper, because we go up in the timekeeper's area. We see the decapitated head of the animatronic. Decapitated head looks like it's terrified, which is kind of haunting in itself. And then this transitions into what we call the void.
The elevator door, obviously we've made connections to it looking... I've heard three different things. The obvious one is the hourglass shape. Mm-hmm. And then other people have said, oh, it's a Mobius strip, which is Mobius. So it could be that. Because a Mobius strip is a circle like that, and it could follow that.
But a Mobius strip is, yes, the number 8. But the one side, it flips, so it continues on forever. That doesn't do that. So it's not a Mobius strip. That's a Mobius stretch is what that is.
It is, yeah. Okay, but there's also the leather one I thought was, the way that it looks, it could look similar. I don't know about this one either, another stretch. It looks like Nordic ruins, mm-hmm. Ruins, R-U-I-N-S. So they're like, oh, the kind of same things that Agatha was using to keep a Scarlet Witch in place in that room. Like maybe those are symbols in that respect. And that might be why they can't use their powers there. It's a stretch.
It is. And I think probably at this point, the most obvious answer is the obvious one.
Yes.
That it's a hourglass.
Yeah. So when, so as you're saying, when we're going into this void here.
Yes.
I'm going to punch in it now. And it's been good through the whole show. But my God, this music here is boom. Bum, 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 bum. And the way it was played is awesome, to the point where I was watching this with people and they're like, wow, the music's really good here. And they never talk about the music. And I was like, yeah, this is the soundtrack. The show has been great all the way through, and so have all the Marvel shows. But my God, this music is just cinematic, operatic, Vegematic. I don't know what you want to say, but it's fantastic.
We fly past the lighthouse at Alexandria, and the only reason I know that is because I'm currently playing Assassin's Creed Origins, and you go to the lighthouse at Alexandria. So I'm like, oh, there it is. I know that. I called it out when we were watching it.
It's not the lighthouse from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, it is not the lighthouse from Agents. Nice, nice connection. Oh, my God. It's all real. It's all real. What else do we see? So we see the Avengers Tower, but it's no longer the Avengers Tower. What is it, Jerry?
It's the Kang Tower.
What does that mean?
It's... That Kang is that's the name of the villain we were just talking about. But it's spelled differently. In the comic books, there is it's with a Q-E-U, or I don't have it right in front of me.
Q-E-N-G, I believe.
Yes, and it kind of pronounced Kang. And in the comic books, that name is what the Stark Tower was bought, or was it Richards? It was basically bought by Nathaniel Richards, which is a variation of Kang in the comic books. So it's
the father of Reed Richards.
I don't know if it's...
Or grandfather.
It's a descendant, or something like that. So... That is another Kang.
Boy, yeah, doing a lot you don't, of you don't throw nonsense. That in there unless you mean something about it, right?
That'd be like putting in a Thanos copter, which means nothing.
But it does. Like, it doesn't mean anything, yes. We see in the background a giant cloud named Eliath. Now, what is Eliath, Jerry?
Oh, I'll let you have this one. It's from the comics, and it's a giant cloud. This is the first time a comic book movie has ever used a giant cloud as the villain or the monster. First time ever.
So, okay. We joked. You've probably listened to our podcast before, and you've heard us talk about the trope of a giant cloud being a villain.
It's as bad as the blue light shooting up into the sky.
And it's awful, too. So, I mean, some prime examples of this are the Absorbing Man from the original Hulk movie from Ang Lee. We have, obviously, probably the worst of them all, Galactus from Rise of the Silver Surfer. Parallax in the Green Lantern is also an awful cloud villain. Cloud villains, who thinks of this? Even Dormammu, to a sense, is a cloud villain. And there's been plenty more. I think there's one
Suicide Squad, doesn't that? When she's shooting a blue villain, the Enchantress.
Yeah, something. There's clouds around. And then, yeah, there's Transformers movies, I think, have clouds or dust coming at, like, I don't know, maybe not Transformers, there's but
the Dementors, which we clearly see in this movie from the Harry Potter.
The Dementors
universe.
Are at least, I mean, I can get, they look like Grim Reapers. But here's the thing,
there's
normally,
the smoke monster.
Normally, I will, yeah, smoke monster. Normally, I will rail against this because if this is, I don't know who keeps doing smoke monsters. It's the dumbest thing. Like, cloud monsters, I should call them. Like, stop doing that. I don't know who thinks that's a good idea, but it's a terrible idea. But in this case,
it works.
This is comic accurate.
Yeah, Eliath was from the comics, and it is tied into Kang. Yeah, and what's the background on that one?
I know he's the guardian. Okay, like the.
It's not a big villain. It's, like it's a, just a, it's a yeah. throwaway villain, which is exactly what it was in this episode. We will never see Eliath again after this because already seen how to defeat it, and it's been defeated, and they were able to walk mm-hmm. right through it. So it's done.
And you and I talked about the idea that the villain for the big villain of this should be someone people recognize and all that, but they just threw a villain in this episode that you've never even heard of before. Or seen before, and you know they get away with it. So they could
it's not
do
the end. It's not yeah. something we've been building to.
I agree.
You know we're building.
I agree.
To.
I agree with what you're saying on that. No, so, cool. Is that nice of me? That was really nice of
so,
me to agree with you.
Let's get to where Renslayer is just blatantly lying.
Oh yeah, TVA. We are actually in the Time Court. There's a big sign in the background that I did not notice before. It says Time Court.
All hail ye to the Time Court and the Judge of Time.
Welcome to Time Court. Din it. Didn't it? I mean, you know what that was.
The defendant.
Yes. So Sylvie questions Renslayer, who tells her that Loki is still alive. Loki is still alive. He's
That's
out there.
That's the only honest truth thing she says here.
And well, then she.
Other
then
than
you,
maybe she wants to find the
well,
answer.
Well, then she explains.
I don't think she does. I think she knows it all.
She's a mystery. I don't know. She explains what the void is, how it's the end of time, but what goes past time. It gets really confusing. Having listened to it twice now, I'm like, what is she like? It's this is where all points come together and just stop. Does that mean people stop aging when they're in the time void? What is going
they
on?
They don't
here?
Know. The information that I got out of this that I thought was important was she says that it's impossible to destroy all of matter. So that's why when they're disintegrating things, they really aren't because you can't destroy it or mm-hmm. through their technology. So they're putting it here to a place where. Yeah, they're saying it's the end, but it actually the end of time is still being written, and that's kind of what Sylvie comes to the conclusion. Like, no, this is just the stopping point yeah. where you're going to go. And I know they're talking about it in the next sequence coming up, so I guess I'll wait to it where she talks a little more about how and why they can't do it. So wait till we get to that part.
And then we had a weird moment here that I thought was a little out of character. Probably my only critique of this: Sylvie just hands the temp pad to Renslayer. Like, here you go, I trust you now. Like, I don't think Sylvie would ever trust her.
I think she knows what she's doing here.
She knows she's going to prune herself and steal the temp pad back from her. It was just a weird moment.
Well,
that
she didn't
I was,
know where does she go at this point. She feels like, I have to do this. This is the next true. Phase. And she feels like she was able to defeat her so easily that she probably thinks she can defeat her again.
Fair enough. I will accept that. You've been accepted. Back at the void, Maurice Drake's drink.
What's the shipwreck?
I don't know what the shipwreck is. The Lost in Space ship, maybe? I don't know.
No, not the flying saucer. The first thing we do is we see an old shipwreck. I think it's supposed to be the ship from the TV series Lost that Richard came on when he was, remember that?
It's such a deep cut. But there is a famous ship in the Marvel Universe. We see Red Skull's spaceship.
It's not a spaceship. It's the weird helicopter thing that he had in Captain America, the first Avenger. Yes.
Well, it might go into space. I don't know. They take Quinjets into space in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There are little blue creatures running around with no heads and floating balls where the heads should be. What's
no
up
idea.
With that?
What
is that?
That?
Is no one's found anything on the internet. I've looked. I don't know if it's a comic thing or if they're just like, put these in
something
there.
Something in a Doctor Strange
panel.
Weird. Yeah.
It was really weird.
And it's seen 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are these things?
There is
a scene where one of them is running on this big statuesque thing, and it looks like it could be a variation on it, but that's later in the episode, but it still does no answer. But Loki here has where he's finally having a conversation briefly with this, and I love his line here where he comes up. He's like, I have no idea how long it's been since New York because it's been going on so crazy.
No, yeah.
That was good to reference.
Time works differently.
But that was also good to reference to us to go, oh, yeah, this is the Loki from just after the Avengers. And because we can forget because at this point, us and the entire world have accepted, oh yeah, no, this is the Loki we follow now.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the show, you were like, oh, I'm so disappointed we're not following that Loki from the, that we spent the other movies with. Now we spent more time with this Loki than we've ever spent with it's the true. Other one. So it's like, it's this true. Is our Loki. And it's more, no matter how much growth the other Loki has had at this point, we feel like this Loki has, because he got to watch all those scenes, he got to get a shortened version of it, and now his growth is happening at a level that if Joel had to choose between which Loki you're going to follow, he's like, no, this is my Loki now.
This is the Loki I would follow, and I agree with that. I'm looking forward to the moment when this Loki, well, he may die in this, I have no idea, but will he ever reunite with Thor? Will he get to meet his brother again and get, like, because for Loki, right?
There is a Chris Hemsworth coming up here, yes.
But will he ever get to, because for Loki, not for Thor, but for the Loki character to go and see his brother and say thank you or sorry or I forget or whatever would be big growth for more growth but, for you know his what, character.
But as a viewer, for the amount of screen time that they're going to give to the millions of dollars for Chris Hemsworth, why would they spend any of the precious screen time doing that when they already screen time did this with Thor and Loki? I know it's a different You're Loki, right. but they've already, you know, like, we've shown this scene. We don't need to show it again.
I wasn't thinking about the money aspect of it. I'm just thinking about the actual story.
But I'm thinking the story time with when the TV show, they have much longer time period to tell that kind of stuff. On the movies, they got a 2-hour and 14-minute slot. They're like, we could do something else. I could see them doing
it. Oh, absolutely. Maybe Thor is the bad guy at the end.
That's crazy. I do like some of the dialogue in this scene here, too, with the comedy mix in. The fact that he starts talking about the alligator, and he goes, which is not even all that strange.
Yeah.
He's letting it go. And they talk about Eliath being a living tempest, which is what we were discussing there. And Loki's reaction is just like, he's like, you know, I can't convey it in the podcast, but the shoulder shrug and the look, it's like, God, this is just great comedy in the midst of this
great
spectacle.
I had a question throughout the episode, but I feel it does get solved, but I'm going to bring it up. We see a lot of Loki variants. We don't really see other people. We're going to see Mobius. We're going to see the people on the ship.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Because Eliath prunes people quickly, but there's Loki's
because Loki survive. Yeah, they've stressed that.
Yeah, it's just weird that, I mean, or the TVA isn't pruning that many people that they're getting sent there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It just seems like you would see just other random people who got pruned. Like, if you saw the Wall Street guy, you know?
I hear what you're saying, but it's also done undone with the fact that we see an entire ship full of probably hundreds of other people, and they get instantly taken out. So like that really answers that.
It does a good job with it, but it's like I'll explain. Later, we're going to see another Tom Hiddleston playing a different Loki, but we don't see, like, there's three Sylvies, but they all look different. There's, you know, we only see two unique Tom Hiddlestons, but we don't see two Richard E. Grants. Like, there's no two Lokis that look like him. Like,
that's season two.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I mean, that's really nitpicky.
It is.
It's really nitpicky, but it's one of those things that I thought about.
I would have stopped listening to the podcast if I hadn't heard this anymore.
No, don't stop. Come back.
So we find out Kid Loki, this is his kingdom, and his nexus moment was he killed Thor. My question is, since he's a kid, did he kill adult Thor or did he kill Thor as a kid?
Killed Thor as a kid.
You think so? They don't say.
Interesting, probably. You're right.
Because in the comic books, Loki becomes Kid Loki again, so the time could happen anytime.
Kid Loki's wearing a crown that has the wings on the side, very similar to what Thor wears, actually. I thought that was interesting, because obviously everyone else has horns. Another Easter egg. Drink. We see Thanoscopter. The Thanoscopter. What the hell is the Thanoscopter,
Before
Jerry?
Before the Thanoscopter, though, we saw the giant Yellowjack helmet.
Yes, yes.
Which the Yellowjack was the villain of the first Ant-Man movie, and at the end of that, he kind of crunches into nothingness. But here we're seeing what looks like either it could be a giant sculpture head, because we see a lot of sculptures, or it looks like his helmet in giant size. There was talk at one point that Marvel wanted to use the director of the Ant-Man movies, wanted to use Yellowjacket tall, and Kevin Feige and the Marvel powers that be said, hang on, we might want to introduce Giant Man in another film.
Giant Man. Perfectly.
Yeah, so that could be reference to this. It could be reference to the fact that there is speculation out there that Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, the actor who played Yellowjacket, possibly will be in that movie. Now that could be a flashback, a flash sideways, a flash forward. Who knows?
Well,
if he's in there, maybe he's still around. Maybe this is in reference to that.
That's fine. That's fine if you bring him in. They should bring in the guy from Hydra who's still alive, who stole some of that stuff. Yeah. Like, that's a loose thread in the Marvel universe
with
that they never
show,
touched on.
With this series of films and this Marvel Studios, mm-hmm. the fact that we've already seen the Abomination come out, anything is still on the table. Mm-hmm. I think that they'll cover that somewhere.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So Thanos Copter is a copter that Thanos flew in the comics.
You could say at this point all comics back at that time period were done for kids, but this was done for little kids. It was a variation on that, and it just became in pop culture to the point where it's actually popped up a few more times. Deadpool made reference to it because it's such a silly image to see one of the biggest villains in the silliest vehicle, mm-hmm. and so to put it in here,
it
like
says
this,
Thanos on the side.
They didn't even bother. Like I was like, I can't believe they didn't like land it upside down. So make it not so blatant where everybody sees it. You're like, oh, I guess that was Thanos, you know?
Even James Gunn tweeted out. He's like, thank you for making it Marvel canon. This is great.
Yeah.
Even though it's not canon because this is...
Oh, no,
but
yeah,
it,
he knows.
But it like, it's really, really clever the way they do it. Moving on to more Easter eggs. We see someone pointing this on the internet. The food trays from the TVA. Does that mean, like, the TVA people don't want to get rid of their food and they're like, no one's looking, they just prune it?
I've heard that. It's pretty funny.
We see Mjolnir.
Mjolnir, yeah.
Mjolnir.
What'd you say, Mjolnir?
Mjolnir.
Because it's in the underground, Mjolnir. It's mold underground, yep. Like that.
Which makes me go, what's the Nexus event for this? Is this one like a different, doesn't have the power?
I thought we were supposed to associate it with who we see next here.
Yes, who do we see?
We see a small frog in a glass cylinder in a complete Thor costume, which is in reference to the comic book version of Thor Frog, or Throg, as he's known. And again, it was thrown in there. He's jumping around in a jar that is it's listed as like experiment T, some 356 or whatever it is, which is in reference to the Thor issue that he's in. And we just found out that also they got Chris Hemsworth to do the little grunt sounds for it. They've come out and said, yeah, this is a brand new sound. We got it.
He just recorded it on his iPhone and then sent it. It's fantastic. So Chris Hemsworth has made a cameo in this show, which is wonderful. Yeah, we had talked about Throg previously, especially when it concerns alligator Loki. I know you mentioned that last podcast. Like, is this a variant like Throg was? Or they also mentioned
maybe that was the closest when
Loki.
Get to it.
And there's a mention of one of the stories in the Thor movie where Thor talks about Loki turning into a snake and biting him. And this is, you know, we're like, maybe that's the alligators, his change. So there's all like animal stuff that we talked about forever, but now we have Throg.
And I will say this, it could never show up again.
Oh, yeah.
Or it could be like, no, or it could be Howard the Duck again, where all of a sudden, like, they do a Howard the Duck in a corner there. And then all of a sudden at the end credits of the movie, he's like, oh, he's there. And then he's showing up more and more.
And then he's in Endgame briefly. And now he's going to be in What If?
Yes.
Back at the TVA. Renslayer, she's working. They have Miss Minutes, and they're talking with Sylvie. Sylvie wants to go through the void, get to the other side.
What
but
is
they
past
can't
the
use,
void?
They can't use the tempex. They can't lock onto any space afterwards, or could they? They might be. She might be lying. She's lying at this point about everything, because Miss Minutes is even lying. And
it seems like that bit of dialogue might be real. They can't lock on past the void. But what could they use? They could use the void spacecraft.
Yes, that's a lie.
Yes.
Then the Minutemen bust in because they're trying to delay them. The Minutemen bust in. Sylvie takes the temp pad, jumps over, and prunes herself.
But beforehand, she goes, do you not have any good memories? And she
yes.
goes, just one really good memory.
And what is that? Is that her and Loki sitting together on the planet?
Well, that's because we saw that, but I don't think that's... I think it has to be something bigger. I think to say that is the moment is... For people to make that the statement, they're saying, well, then that you feel like you've seen all her good moments. There's clearly a lifetime of this character. So I don't know. I think it's something different.
I'm sure we will find out.
But yeah, she self-prunes.
Self-prunes.
And then we go to where we need to get ourselves a good old box of Roxy wine.
Roxy wine, which is probably Roxcart's version of their wine.
In a box.
In a box.
But not if you're a kid. What do you have to drink when you're a kid?
Well, Ecto Cooler. Like any
what
great
is Ecto
kid.
Cooler?
Ecto Cooler is a juice box. I'm sure it was an actual drink, too. It's a drink that came out in the late 80s as a tie-in to the Ghostbusters cartoon. The real Ghostbusters is the cartoon.
It lasted
is called.
Until the year 2001 due to its popularity.
Yeah,
so
and they brought
around.
It back here and there. It's Ecto Cooler. It's so weird. I had it. It was never that good.
It was brought back in 2016 to coincide with the female Ghostbusters movie, which is what it's called. Mm-hmm. It's called the female Ghostbusters.
And it has Slimer on the car, like the cartoon Slimer. And as a kid, it's cool, but it was never good.
No, you had that, and our cousins had that. And I was a little bit older. I'm like, oh, this stuff's gross. This is gross. Give me a Capri Sun.
We see boastful Loki. He's talking about how he killed Captain America. He killed Iron Man. He got all the Infinity Stones, and all the other Lokis call BS on him, which is great. Then we get he tells us what alligator Loki's Nexus event was, which was eating the neighbor's cat.
The wrong neighbor's
cat. The wrong neighbor's cat. In the background here, I called this out when we were watching only because of Angry Video Game Nerd on YouTube, Polybus, which is an old video game legend about this game that was released in, I want to say, it was Oregon. And Portland, Oregon. And it was like only a couple, but it was this military experiment to try to see video games can it like influence.
Greetings, Starfighter.
Yeah. So it's this like crazy thing. Angry Video Game Nerd does a great documentary kind of on this. So check that out. But this is obviously a variant because this never existed. And there it is in the void.
That's great. This part I think is really important here in the grand scheme is the next part is when classic Loki's talking about himself to a certain degree. And he talks about how he uses sorcery and he doesn't use blades, mm-hmm. even though they talk about how blades are nice to backstab.
Ooh, blade?
And yeah, there you go. But this is where we get classic Loki talk about how his projections are so real. He was able to fool even the Mad Titan himself and he hidden debris because Thanos thought
the TV show
him.
Debris?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say so. But what happened with him is that he spent a very long, very long time. And then he eventually got lonely. He missed his brother Thor. And that's when he got caught by the TVA. And then they make a reference to, because Loki is the god of outcasts. To the god of outcasts.
Interesting thing here, too. I read this and I thought this was fun. So classic Loki is drinking out of a goblet, right? Earlier, I think it was earlier this episode, or it was one of the episodes on a TVA screen, we see the location of Oak Island, Nova Scotia. And this is allegedly the location of where the Holy Grail is hidden.
Oh, nice.
So did they find, is he drinking out of the Holy Grail?
Not according to Last Crusade, because that goblet is this is the cup of a carpenter.
You've chosen poorly.
Oh, Jesus.
That's fantastic. So it's cool to see that, but Loki wants to go out there and kill Eliath.
He wants to do something.
To do.
He's not going
to
sit here.
So as he walks out of the tunnel, he encounters a bunch more Loki variants.
President
including,
Loki.
Yep, with a voting badge on him.
That's
and we also
comics.
Get to see the Loki we saw in a hologram previously with
them.
The horns.
Yes. I didn't realize when they first showed us, like, I didn't know that all of those were supposed to be other Lokis.
You could tell from the headdresses.
I thought maybe they were just wearing emulations of him or, like, they're a bunch of barbarians that had, like, accepted him. But, no, they're all Lokis.
And, by the way, I want to put, we're going to get this later, but there are more people than just Lokis around. We get mention of cannibalistic marauders and also
pirates.
Cannibalistic pirates. Yeah. So there are other people. So maybe some of those weren't Lokis. Maybe some of them were just henchmen, per se.
One of them gets a line of dialogue. In the next sequence, he gets when he betrays President Loki. So they actually let one of them say something in a wide shot, though, so you can't really see him real well.
But we go to Sylvie waking up on a bus. Polybus? Bus?
I thought it was the cat bus from Totoro.
Nice. And she is rescued by Mobius, who is driving a pizza delivery cart from Eliath.
Before that, though, when she's running, she briefly touches Eliath.
Well, that's, yeah.
No,
that's,
before
that. I know, yeah, you're right.
You jumped to the
bus. I have that written in it.
Yeah, and she gets a vision of a castle, which, and when we first watched it, we're like, what was that? We didn't know.
It's a building on a rock, right?
It's a time
but we see it later on this episode.
It's Hogwarts.
I'm assuming
it's Hogwarts.
It's Hogwarts, yeah. Perfect. Back in the bowling alley with slanted bowling lanes. It's bizarre. There's a pinball machine called a Space Mission, which is not an actual thing, but I don't know what that is referencing. I don't know. It seems prominent too, because they really show it.
Well, it's in the background. It's got a name. They don't spend like a single shot.
Versus
on
like
it.
Everything else is mostly is like Thanos copter, Polybus, the ship
but
that
again,
comes later. Like these are all. Stonehenge, like the Sphinx, like we see this stuff that it seems so out
by the way
of
the Sphinx and the pyramid there, which we kind of went past real fast, that could also be referenced to Kang because he is one Immortus was one of his he's in the comics.
Oh, you know
he's
what I didn't look?
Multiple different names and what he has Egyptian origins when he was a villain in that time period as well.
Did the Sphinx have a nose? I didn't look closely enough at it.
It did not,
because that would make the variant.
You know that nose only got shot off in the last 150 years.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no. Okay. I know. Plus, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Origins right now, where you can climb on the Sphinx and the pyramids. It's
amazing. What was I thinking?
Boastful Loki, in a great move, in a the twist of the century, turns on Loki, on the kid Loki and classic Loki, to get the power, and then President Loki turns on Boastful Loki, and then all the Loki henchmen and other Lokis turn on President Loki. Fantastic. What a great scene. And then Alligator Loki comes up and bites the hand off of
just President like a Loki. Lot of Phase 2 Marvel movies, all lost hands.
And his scream there is perfect. Perfect. It was great. It was
there
great.
Is, by the way, there is 1976, there is a Space Mission pinball game.
Oh. Well, look at that.
From Williams Electronics.
So. Is there any more info on that, or is it just they actually got
it disappeared in a hurricane?
Right, I want to know this. Since. I need to know this. In order to escape,
200 of the Space Mission games were made with steel cabinets. I don't know what that means. Okay, well.
And now you know. No. I was wrong. Apparently, it's a real thing. There's no variant here.
No, it could be, or it could be just one really rare one, or whatever. Sorry, I didn't mean to avoid.
Was it Space Mission the game, or the Space Mission pinball?
Pinball.
Okay, cool. Now you know, classic Loki ends up creating illusions of themselves to help escape this big fight that's going on, and he ends up teleporting them out, so that's one of his powers, he can teleport. Like I had previously mentioned in the other episode where we see him teleport, which and the telekinesis, which means he might be, our Loki is capable of doing that, because anything any of the Lokis are capable
that,
of doing.
He mentions that later in the episode, that we're stronger than we think we are.
It's a great line. That's the best line of the episode.
Apparently the Void also, there is a comic reference to the Void. In the comics, the Void is a dark, inexplicable, and possibly biblical entity, that acts as the evil side to the century. Oh, they're really tying it into the century. No, that's the character that's like a
maybe
Superman
the Sentry
character.
Will be at the end. Is Sentry, yeah. Isn't that
well, the
at
Void
the end
did
of
murder
Guardians of the Galaxy?
In the Siege comic, in the Siege comic, the Void actually murders Loki, and that's when Loki is then rebirthed as Kid Loki. So
nice. But isn't the Sentry the character that is at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Or it's
no,
Adam?
That's Adam Warlock.
Adam Warlock.
So many characters.
So many. So they're walking around. They're going to go towards the Lath. Kid Loki has...
I'm sorry. One last thing.
No, fine.
That fight sequence there.
Yeah.
So the music playing there is that theme. Dun, 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 dun. That music. Mm-hmm. But it's done in a fast, like, barroom fight version. The second time I'm watching, I'm like, oh, that's the same theme. But it's
that's
dun,
great.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's just...
Excellent.
Yeah.
Kid Loki is walking with looks like a remote control device. I guess it's to find
it
where
is.
The next Nexus event is going to make an appearance. That's what I'm assuming it's for.
It is, because he does that there. And then also, when they're walking there, classic Loki has a great line where he says, because they're so mad about how that all betrayal happened. He's like, we are all broken. And that's kind of showing where Kid Loki is agreeing with him. It's like, every time one of us does something good,
TVA gets rid of it.
Ironically, the writer just came out yesterday, said that the ending, one of the original endings was when Loki was fighting that, was that the other Lokis were going to join in and help because none of them wanted to be overshadowed by another Loki. And that was what they originally thought in the script, and then they said, no, we're not going to go that route. But they did think that, thought that process through.
That's
like
fun.
Loki could not stand another Loki having one on over him.
That's great. We get to see the USS Eldridge, which is the big warship. It is a cannon-class destroyer that was supposedly involved in alleged military experiments carried out in 1943.
The Philadelphia experiment.
The Philadelphia experiment. The Eldridge was rendered invisible or entirely cloaked to enemy devices.
It's all BS.
The U.S. military has maintained no such experiments exist, and the writer who broke the story admitted it was a hoax.
Yes.
But it's still a cool concept.
There was a movie, yeah.
The idea that there's also time travel involved in this and stuff like that. So it ends up appearing, it's shooting at the cloud, and then it gets just taken out by Eliath, which is great.
But we find out that they want to enchant Eliath.
Yes,
that's
the plan. Which is makes so much sense because they've built up this ability so much throughout the show. This is great writing here because, like, yes, you can touch it and she can enchant it. As long as she makes physical contact with it, she can go in the memories. Brilliant, 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 because especially later when we see our Loki learning that he can do the power as well. It's such a really tight piece of writing, I think. At the TVA, Renslayer We have a kind of a throwaway scene here. I think this is a very much a throwaway scene.
Well, we're seeing what B-15 is doing.
What happened to B-15? She's in prison. Renslayer comes to question her. She's like, so why is Sylvie doing this? And B-15's like, you know, out of revenge. And I wanted to be like, yes, we already know this, right? Right, Renslayer? You took her out. She's angry at you.
I would agree this scene doesn't have a lot here. I did like the fact that B-15 says, you know, she's going to be get there. She's going to be faster. She's going to get to before. And she goes, why? Because you want to know who's behind. Sylvie needs to know. Mm-hmm. And then from this scene, we get another Miss Minutes sequence where she's talking about, hey, track the beginning of, you know, Miss Minutes walking with her. And she's like, hey, find out where the beginning of this is, everything. And then as the Miss Minutes character zips away, Renslayer has a really wicked look on her face. Like she's like, it makes me think like, yeah, she knows all this, or she's, you know, she's clearly in cahoots with whatever's behind all this.
Cahoots.
It's a word.
At the Void, we get a little sit down here where they're talking, and Mobius doesn't remember Alligator Loki. And I thought this was such a funny scene because it's what's not said.
How do you know it's a Loki?
Because it's green, obviously. Not because it's wearing Loki horns right now. Mm. What do you? I love that no one questions that it's wearing a crown, but it's because it's green.
Also, brilliant. Loki gives this basically gives a question. He asks the audience questions at this point. He's responding to like, hey, maybe this is a long con. Maybe this is a game within a game, which you Lokis love to do, which I respect. You know, it was a great little.
You had a moment. I think you said this, or maybe it was something else. Mobius doesn't remember Alligator Loki because there's multiple Mobiuses. Obviously, he's been pruned, so maybe there's been other prunings of Mobius. And the rings underneath the glass on the table, which could turn out to be absolutely nothing.
At this point, I feel like it's absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Unless Mobius is the bad guy at the end. Which is they brought this up in the previously on, this unique friendship that they have. Mm-hmm. Is Mobius Kang?
No.
Is that what it is? And that's why Renslayer and Kang, they're together, and that's their...
That would be like
having... Why would they bring that up? That's such
like,
a real...
Okay, so I'll tell you what. You're talking... So let's say we hire a big famous actor for a role.
Like, are you going to do like, Fantastic Beasts and where to find them? Yeah.
Where Colin, what's his name, plays the main bad guy through the whole thing, and then the last 30
Colin
seconds...
Colin Farrell turns into
go,
Johnny Depp.
It's Johnny Depp. Why? Do you, why? Oh, that won't come back to bite him.
No, at not all. At all. Oh, no. Oh, no. So... The idea that they, when she says we have a very unique friendship and they brought that up in the previously on makes me question what's going on here with Mobius. I think there's still more. This is not the last we see. He didn't just walk through that door and go, he's see ya. I think he's going to probably confront Renslayer and they're going to have their ending together. Mm-hmm. And then Loki and Sylvie are having their ending with whoever the big bad is.
Yeah, we have our nice little blanket talk here. I don't think we...
Yeah, well, I want to talk two things about this. One... I've been saying the whole time that this is more of a romantic relationship leading towards it. Although this, Jerry's been saying this is more of a friendship thing, and this conversation leads to a friendship, more of a friendship sort of thing, because she goes, you know, she talks about being friends. She's never had a friend before.
They're almost you know, brother and alone. Sister kind of thing.
Yeah, I still think it's romantic. I think this is incredibly romantic.
I mean, they do that. They do
They're
going
to kiss, and that's going to be the big Nexus event that destroys everything.
They do have that scene where, you know, like, hey, maybe we can do this together. And she's like, maybe. I think she's going to betray him.
But now my other question here as I'm watching this wonderful scene that I like, how does Loki's illusions work? So he conjures up a blanket.
You know what? I'm not doing this. I'm not having this conversation anymore. It's pointless.
You know
at the
what?
End of this at the end
you know
of this
what? No, sure.
The end is we don't know.
Magic. Sure. I will throw a theory out that he has made things invisible, like the dagger. He always has it on in his like pouch of carrying or, you know, like container of carry-all that has like 1,000 things in it, and he can conjure it up. It's like in Harry Potter. Nothing is just made. It's like made someplace else and you can bring it to there. Like the food, like they don't just make food out of thin air. That food is created in the kitchens of Hogwarts and then brought up to the tables.
I feel anyways. You only brought this up because you wanted to give a little bit of
no, I just thought
Harry,
about it right
no,
now,
you
actually.
Wanted to give a little bit of Harry Potter knowledge from the books and that's why we had to talk about this.
I just
it's
need
magic.
Details
we're
on how
know. It, never going to know. Magic.
Nope, it's not
where,
magic.
Where'd the flaming Jerry, sword come from? Where did his little pouch come from his back that he puts a sword in?
It's science...
Matter.
We don't understand yet.
How did
so it's
he,
not magic.
How did he dry himself in that episode when he
did he dry himself or did he just make himself look like he was dry?
And then how would he not make the sound, the squishing and all this stuff? See, don't stop it.
I love it.
Stop it. Get out of here.
I love it, Jerry. He's getting so he's fake. Ooh, the veins are popping out.
Is she still doing the long con?
Popped out?
Yes, she is. Now we see the Ronin ship.
Well, we see Ronin ship. Well, we don't know if it's Ronin ship. We know it's a Kree ship.
Yes.
So it's probably Ronin ship, but We see that in the background. We see the bird creatures, which is weird. It's climbing, someone mentioned this online, it's climbing a tank,
yeah.
which is actually a nuclear-powered tank, which was something that was created, that or a thought of, an idea that was never actually put into use because a nuclear tank sounds terrible.
I think it was a tank from the Phantom Menace, one of those Misa got no boom boom tanks. That scene, that's what it looked like.
Misa got no boom boom.
I don't know, that's how I remember it.
So Kid Loki gives that dagger to...
It's a sword, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a flaming sword. It actually is... People have said this is a famous Norse mythology sword.
I believe it's from Game of Thrones. I think Dondarrion had that sword.
That was one of the coolest scenes is when they both lit their swords on fire in season 8. One of the few cool moments. Mobius... So the two Lokis leave. Kid Loki, classic Loki. Mobius is going to go back and use the temp pad, go back to the TVA. Like I said, I don't think that's the end of him. And also in the background, another Easter egg drink, we see a helicarrier, but which is interesting about this helicarrier, it has the big Hydra symbol on it, the Hydra yes. logo. So that comes from a variant world where Hydra won and got the...
So funny, like that was so obscured because I'm so focused on what's happening. They're like that. We're throwing that in there if you want to look for it, but this is all about the conversation and what's happening in the foreground that... It's very easy to...
No, I called it out when we were watching it.
You did.
I said there's a helicarrier.
The scene. I'm like, what are you talking about?
But I didn't see the Hydra logo at the time because that's really muddy and murky in the background. So they're going to confront Eliath, right?
There's a great scene here, which I always call the backdraft moment. You go, I go. You know, that was used in backdraft several times. And it's like, that's exactly where Loki's like, he's like, you're going, I'm going. I'm like, yeah, there it is.
They go to confront Eliath. Loki runs off to create a distraction while Sylvie tries to enchant one of the tendrils.
There was the giant living tribunal head right here.
Yep.
I saw that. That's another cosmic entity in the Marvel comic books is the living tribunal, which is a three-head thing. And we're seeing a...
From Transformers.
Yeah. We're seeing this head out there. And I'm assuming it's a stone head and not the actual living tribunal's head out there. But that was a nice little another Easter egg out there.
Everything looks like it's going to go bad. And then classic Loki shows up and starts creating an illusionary Asgard, this huge place. And they are blown away. Like, how can he create something so massive?
And the music does a variation of the Ride of the Valkyries mixed into that already incredible theme. And I was like, oh, God, this show just, you know.
This is an awesome scene. This is cinematic. This is epic. This is where we get the great line Loki goes, you know, I think we're stronger than we think we are. Because anything classic Loki can do, our characters can do.
And
so
obviously
this is
we see it take a strain on him, but the way he gets to pose and the way he's dressed and the cape and everything looks so perfect. You look at this and go like, he could wear that. Our Loki could wear that outfit because it works. It's so silly when you see it in the comic books. But now when you see it in motion like that, it's like, oh, yeah, this is fantastic. And Richard E. Grant, who has a history of playing great villains and bad guys, just seeing him do this scene. We're only spending one episode with him and we're seeing him. And yes, we are on his journey because we know Loki. So we kind of know the basic of the character. But we're seeing this alternative future version. And which I forgot to remember when they introduced Sylvie, he goes, that's us as a kid, that's us as an adult, that's us as an alligator. I mean, great line. But when he's doing all those flourishes and he's doing this, trying to distract so that the other two Lokis can, you know, grab onto the tendrils. Yep. And then he screams out, glorious purpose. And he's laughing as it takes him over and takes him. And again, this is a guy who's already told us that he really good about creating illusions and his helmet is left over. And I think that's personally the end of him.
I do too, but they could bring him back. That's an easy character to bring back if they wanted to. It was what they've said online. I think Kevin Feige said this, that they have underpowered Loki. He's not as strong in the MCU. And now we're seeing like, oh, he can be incredibly strong. He can enchant, although we've seen him enchant before, but we saw him enchant after the Avengers movie. Although we see him enchant Eric
Selvig.
So that's a little confusing to me. But Loki's can become much more powerful than he currently is because he learns to enchant at this moment. He enchants with Sylvie. They enchant the Eliath. Eliath kind of disappears or opens up.
And we see Hogwarts.
We see the building. Yep, we see the building. And they walk towards it. And that's the end of the episode. We get the end credits.
In the building, you can see them preparing the food that they're going to magically put through the tables. It's incredible.
Get out of here. God damn it. End credits. all the same, except for, again, the poster inside the locker is different. This time we get the TVA logo, the hourglass, or Kang. And the surveillance photos, as I call them, we see a bunch of different Lokis, Boastful Loki, President Loki. So those are the two changes. No Cretan credit sequence. Jerry, did this change your opinion?
No, it's a great show. We also talked personally about if they will have a guest star. We've got burned on this before, but there still seems like there's slots in the end credits for other names.
That's not going to happen.
May or may not.
Boo. Yeah.
Will we see, you know, special guest star?
Anthony Hopkins.
No, Rene Russo. You know, I mean, could happen, but not. Yeah, but no, I thought this was a great episode. I think it's my favorite episode so far. It's not always fair because it has so much fun in there, but beyond the fun of the Easter eggs. And again, some of the other episodes had to do the legwork to get to this episode.
Oh, absolutely.
But having said that, this episode was just like, yes, this is a, you know, right
and
there.
And this is one of those episodes that will keep giving. I'm sure over the next couple of days, we're going to get more people figuring out what are those birds? Or, you know, what is that thing in the background that we didn't know? And someone's gonna be like, oh, I finally figured this out. Or the writer's going to come out and go, this is what that was. And
is the future of Marvel shows, is it just mystery box? Because even Falcon and the Winter Soldier wasn't a mystery box show, but it had a little bit of who's behind it all. This one is a mystery box. WandaVision show was a mystery from beginning to end, almost. And this one might be less of a mystery and more of a journey of our character, mm-hmm. but it does have a mystery behind it all. So I would say this is not the same as WandaVision. WandaVision was like every episode. Who's not only who's behind it, but what's going on. With the TVA, it's like we kind of get what's going on. We may be being lied to, mm-hmm. but it's not about every episode. We don't go, what's going on? We're like, okay, now we're farther along in the journey. So
sure.
Is that the future? Do they see this? You know, does Netflix and Amazon Prime, the places that put out all their episodes at once, do they see this? Will they ever change this? Will they ever do this where they will, like, we go week to week, we get a Lost vibe, we get people talking about it. You know, that show Sweet Tooth came out and on Netflix, they spent all this money on. I've heard people talk about it. And it's done. No one's talking about it anymore at all. I want to watch the show, but it's like, I'm sorry, I'm busy talking about Loki for 6 weeks straight. It's, you know, is Marvel seeing this and saying, hey, that Hawkeye show, that She-Hulk show, the Moon Knight show, let's put more mysteries in it, you know, as opposed to just being, you know, an adventure.
I'm down. They should absolutely do that. One more thing I want to mention before we go. I did get a chance to look at the end credits of WandaVision, the changes that they made. So bizarre. I disagree with the cape or the invisible flying.
The shadow.
Yeah, I think that is I think that has something to do with probably the rendering of the actual
thing. This is the rumor about being Doctor Strange.
So yeah, the ending is so weird. They like, you see WandaVision, the original one, and then you see the one they did, and they've added trees. Like, they've added trees out of the, like, okay, that seems like a weird ad, but it's like, I think this scene is going to make an appearance in Doctor Strange, so they kind of reshot it or re-jiggered it and put it into...
That'd be like taking out a Starbucks coffee cup and changing the whole meeting.
Yeah,
scene.
It was, but I, the Starbucks cup, I totally get why they would take it out.
It was an accident.
I have no idea why we need to put more trees in
here. It wasn't finished when we first did it.
But it's trees.
But also, isn't it the fact that they added the Doctor Who theme music?
No, the Doctor Who theme
music. I'm sorry, the Doctor Strange theme in there?
They did. They added the Doctor Strange, and then they gave credit to the composer.
Did they actually add the music, or was it just they forgot to put the credit in the first time?
If they added the music,
then it was done for a reason. If they just forgot to credit it and people are jumping to it, Marvel hasn't acknowledged this at all.
No, and it's the bizarrest thing, like, because they've added trees. It's not like they did. They literally had to go in and like, we're going to make trees, and then we're going to take this thing that we've already put up on our server, we're going to pull it down, add this ending to it, a different ending, and put it back up.
Well, all those trees, I guess. All I'm thinking is, we are Groot. And that's how we're going to end it, with We Are Groot. What a terrible ending. All right. Join us next for, I believe, will be the final episode of Loki, Season 1, before we get into Black Widow. And again, if you have any thoughts, open up a window and yell out, and we'll listen to them, and we'll hear them, and we'll pull them back, and we'll talk about it next week.
Do it in yodel form,
yes,
too.
Get your theories out now. Who is it? Let us know. Yes. Tell us, and we will talk about it. And until then, and as always, I am Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.